Blog Talk Radio.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June, I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back. There's nothing shaking come this here July. I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die.
Just you bet on it. James Bostic here with the American Brands Radio Initiative. It's good to be here with you on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, our good friend and brother, Mark Hoffman's home place. And he has allowed us to bring this show to you live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Nice to be with you. We are waiting on Scott Kesterson, who is planning on arriving fashionably late. There are priorities in this life, and he is exercising his right now. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to save it. I think I'm going to save it till I don't know when. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. There is a book that I have found incredibly invaluable. It's part of their First Principles series. And it comes from the Heritage Foundation. It was free. Give them a donation. I think I sent them $5. But you can get it for free if you're strapped and you need this information, and it's important that you have it. It's called A Citizen's Introduction to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. One of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is the separation of powers. But before we get into that, you know, it's really nice to get to be here with you all doing the show. How about a sound check, people? I know somebody's listening. Clue me in. Shouldn't have to ask, by the way. Anyway, here's the deal. I hope you had a great weekend. The weather was beautiful here in the Mountain State. And as most of you know, one of my hobbies is that of being a Civil War reenactor. And we had our final reenactment of the season this last weekend at a place called Droop Mountain, West Virginia. It's in Pocahontas County, not very far from the birthplace of Miss Pearl S. Buck. Thank you. Thank you very much. And was one of the engineers telling me that we sounded tolerable. So that's good. Thank you. I haven't been able to fully embrace reenacting the last couple of years as I have. I've been doing it for 22 years. This marks my 22nd year of fighting the Civil War, which means I have fought the Civil War over five times longer than the battle actually was. Terrific time, terrific weekend, kind of a small event, but, you know, it's and I say this many times, and I'll say it again, and it's something that reenactors fully understand. The reenactor community as a whole is a gigantic family. And where most people go to the beach or they go to the mountains for 2 weeks every year or they do what they do, we spend, you know, 8, 10, some people a lot more, you know, 12, 15 weekends a year going to Civil War reenactments. And a lot of times beyond those people in my immediate battery. Oh, good. Scott's here arriving fashionably late. He doesn't like the theme music, so he shows up. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm good, James. You're almost deserving of a good gift I sent you, so hopefully that comes through.
So, I'm sorry. Say that again. I was putting in my earpiece, man. What was that?
I said in a minute here, you're going to get a nice little gif that was appropriate for that comment about me not liking your music. See, I sent you all sorts of texts today, and this is what I think your new motto needs to be with regards to that music, and this is how I think it is. When you live in West Virginia, you better get used to doing the waltz.
Oh, man. That's kind of cold. I haven't done anything in 3-4 time. We're talking big band. We're talking Sinatra. We're talking the Rat Pack. Come on, dude. You got to get hip. You just have to get hip, Cat. That's all there is to it, man. It's a waltz. My God. You start that stuff, I'll find one. I'll find the Blue Danube or the Minuet or something, and we'll go with that. I was just telling the folks while I was waiting for you to slide on in here and we're gonna move on to this real quick, the separation of powers. But I was talking about it was a beautiful weekend this weekend, and the weather was outstanding. And my unit, Brian's battery, when we're Confederate, or the 1st West Virginia Artillery when we're Federal, we were at Droop Mountain this weekend for a small reenactment that we have up there, and we had a terrific time. I was just blowing smoke till you showed up, man. So how you doing? Everything okay?
Yeah, I was actually listening to you because what I was listening to the fact is how old you were. Because you said that you had fought in the Civil War and then you refought the Civil War for more time than the Civil War actually cost. So what does that put you, like 150 years old or something?
At a minimum. Actually, that's you know what, I didn't – just for purposes of disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I did not fight – in the Civil War, but I remember sitting on the porch rolling bandages with my grandmother when the soldiers came through town.
That's amazing. You have literally, you're a walking legend. That's what I'm going to tell you right now. You know what's going to happen is the left is going to want to take you down because you're older than a statue.
Bring them on. Bring them. I'm ready. You know what? I could use a good scrap. I think it would be an excellent catharsis for me. So I am ready for their monkey asses. Huh.
Oh, I think so. All right. So what are we going to talk about tonight, Jim?
Well, you know, like I talked to you earlier this week, I have this book, the Citizen's Introduction to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And based on my own conversations with Thomas Jefferson, the guy that wrote this, Matthew Spaulding, has done an excellent job because I was, you know, I knew those guys. But
that's great. Yeah.
Lord Acton once said, and we've all heard this saying, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And in the Federalist Paper number 47, James Madison said that, and I'm quoting here, the accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether it was through heredity or through self-appointment or through election, can justly be pronounced as the very definition of tyranny. So keeping these powers of government divided in these distinct branches was admitted by everyone. That was the conventional thinking of the time to be essential to the preservation of liberty. And the founders were drawing on this French philosopher by the name of Montesquieu. Can't remember his first name. I think it was Artie Montesquieu. And he was the one who made this case. And Montesquieu, if we look back, this was just in the tail end of the French Revolution. And so they had gone away from the monarchy and was moving into a more elective representative republic. But it isn't enough that we divide these powers, that we separate them. And in our country, we have three branches. We have the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary, just as we said. And it was going to take more than simply barriers erected in parchment, as they had seen with the earlier state constitutions. It proved inadequate. And the quote is that it was an inadequate defense against a legislative proclivity. And they're talking about the legislative branch here. And see what you think about this, guys. We see it now today. Boards everywhere, extending the sphere of its activity and drawing all power into its impetuous vortex. So we come up with these three distinct and separate branches. But they are not so separate, and they are not so distinct as to be completely walled off from one another. By giving each of these departments an incentive to check the others with overlapping functions and oversight, the founders took advantage of man's natural political motivations, both to use power for the common good and to keep power within the constitutional boundaries, or, as James Madison put it, the interest of the man becomes connected with the constitutional rights of the place.
That's an interesting idea. I'm letting you go here a little bit because I'm trying to catch up with you because Montesquieu, it's been a while since I've studied Montesquieu, just so you know. But hey, I do want to add something into this right here because you just mentioned the three bands of power, right?
Right.
And I think that this is one of the big distortions of our time is that everything you just listed is based on, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, it is based on the laws of nature and of nature's God, right? So we're based on natural laws are based on the idea of Christian values of God. We've allowed, and I think we talked about this last week, but I just want to highlight it. I know I've talked about it on a couple of my shows. We have allowed this concept of a privately held, privately interested, meaning self-interest, not interest in the natural laws, entity called media to develop a propaganda line that says that it is the fourth pillar in this, which they refer to as the fourth estate, as if they are supposed to be part of this concept of check and balance, which they're not. You with me?
Absolutely. The Constitution created these three branches of government. Each one was vested with independent powers and responsibilities. Each has its own basis of authority and serves different terms of office. No member of one branch can be at the same time serving in another branch. But the powers, like I said, they aren't separated. For example, before it becomes law, congressional legislation, for instance, has to be approved by the executive. What's that mean? Well, that means there's a bill on Capitol Hill. And when it gets to the president's desk and he likes it, what does he do? He signs it. So this is a check against Congress in the form of the qualified veto. But in turn, to check the executive, the legislature can override his veto by 2/3 of vote in the House and the Senate. The president's a commander-in-chief, but the House has the power to declare war. And it's up to Congress to fund executive activities, including war making. They all overlap.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's a critical point you just make right there, and I think we have to jump in here because one of the things that is people are missing, and I'm not ever, and the listeners here, I'm not ever accusing anybody of that, but the point is that President Trump's actions, it's very important to look at President Trump's actions in terms of resetting the constitutional boundaries. When you talk about the Iran deal that he did not authorize this week or recertify, he's pushing it back to Congress to do their job. When we talk about Obamacare, he's created a major disruption by taking away the subsidies of corporations, forcing again Congress to do what they repeatedly have failed to do, fix the damn problem. He is pushing the Congress to make the laws. He's doing that with immigration. He's doing that with the issues of DACA. He's doing that with the issues of education across the board. And what you're seeing is the left is spinning up saying he's not getting anything done because they're functioning purely as obstructionists. But yet he is getting something done because even in terms of obstruction, we are seeing how Congress is working. And this is very important to grasp here, is that he is undoing executive orders and making sure were done by our insurgent president, ex-President Obama. And, man, I have a hard time choking that name down every time I say it. I kind of get a little bit of vomit in the back of my throat. But anyway, the point being that man ran by executive rule. And he decided that since he couldn't work with Congress, he would just intentionally just change the world based on executive action. President Trump and the DOJ and other agencies are going through now and dismantling that and pushing the powers back to the three branches of government. You notice today, for example, he said the Hawaiian court, a political activist federalist court, blocked his immigration issues. They're going to take this to the DOJ. They're going to put it back on the Supreme Court's plate. And once again, we're going to consume Supreme Court time, but that's fine because ultimately the Supreme Court's going to make a decision on the executive limit of the law on doing immigration. This is what needs to be happening. And it's why every time you look at these actions that they're doing, the left loses their damn mind because the left has developed this concept that if they want it and their people want it, we will get it at any cost, regardless of whether it's within the constitutional boundaries or not, period.
And this was something, you know, they couldn't, and in their arrogance, they chose not to see it. But there were people who, you know, kept telling them, listen, you keep doing this stuff by executive orders, all it's going to take is another president to come in there and undo them through executive orders. And now that's not what Donald Trump has done. Like you said, that's not what he's done. He has eliminated the subsidies, a critical part of Obamacare, which was basically the part that the insurance companies loved because it meant that there was just going to be a truck rammed through the firewall of government and business and dump money into their laps so that they could provide this substandard lackluster coverage that we have seen in the continual implosion and death spiral of the Affordable Care Act, of Obamacare.
Well, and so you understand, I mean, the part of that is Congress is the ability that can extol attack. So in the function, taking taxpayer money and giving it as a subsidy to corporations and doing it as an end around using executive action is an absolute violation of the Constitution. So removing that and then allowing Congress to debate what the hell they want to do with it, it's no longer President Trump's issue. He's putting it back on Congress. It's Congress. And this is where we need to grasp this more and more, is that if we put a president in that it is not up to President Trump to fix Obamacare. It is up to President Trump to dismantle the ridiculous illegal actions that were done by executive fiat to get this thing back in the hands of Congress. Congress needs to fix it. If Congress is going to make promises and doesn't follow through, just like we changed our president, it is up to us to change Congress. You know, Steve Bannon's issue of declaring war on the Republican Party, yeah, you bet. I'm 100% behind it. And no, I don't believe
that the establishment is going to have any better chance of winning than a new person coming up. Quite to the contrary. The establishment's fearful of this. And we need to yank these dirtbags out of there and have them holding through on the promises that they make, because they are, this is again, the two pillars that I talk about, we talked about last week. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are shaped on two principal pillars. And those are fear of God and the government's fear of the people.
And here's the thing, Scott, and you know it as well as I do. The government hasn't been particularly fearful of the people in a long, long time. And we need to bring that back. We need to bring that back. And that's why, and now that Steve Bannon has the ear of the Koch brothers and of the Mercer family, they're freaking out, man. They're just as scared. The establishment, in my opinion, the establishment Republicans, the McCains, the McConnells, the McGrahams, the McRyans, all these clowns are horrified. They're just as horrified of what's happening as the Democrats. They're trying to play this off as though the Republican Party is in disarray, that they're imploding, that they're turning on each other, which is in truth what's happening with the left and the Democratic Party. The voters of the United, the voters in America, the Republican voter, the conservative, let me put it that way, the true Republicans and the true constitutional conservative Republicans are not in disarray. They are of one mind, and they're going to give these guys a shot. And if you can't get it done, guess what? We're moving you out, Kat. You're not going to stay. We don't need you. If you're not going to be moving us forward, then you're just holding us up.
Look, that's the, you know, we've talked about this before, and it's, the Constitution, its framework functions beautifully. It's kind of like, I'm trying to come up with a good example. I don't know if I'm going to, but I'm going to use dance as an issue. I mean, when two people are dancing in sync together, everything is perfect.
You mean like a waltz?
Yeah. Well, there's one. You know, that is a great. Where did you get that idea? That's something else.
I'm exposed to a lot of smart people, man, and it rubs off.
I'm telling you, that's almost like, you know, it's funny you said that, because sometimes when you play your music, it reminds me of the waltz. I'm just saying.
But none of that crap's in 3/4 time, man. Jeez.
All right. So back to that waltz. When we have this waltz going on the dance floor and everybody's like, wow, James picks some great music and he dances beautifully, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got this, you know, you've got somebody wanting to cut in on your dance that doesn't know how to dance. Right? I mean, so you disrupt the entire thing. This is, you know, this, my point of this is that the system works until people try to take advantage of it, and then it creates this massive disarray, and we start to listen to all these other things. We lose focus, and this is why we lose focus on what the Constitution says. Okay? The system is based on some principles. I know one of them is a tough one for about 99.5% of the people in D.C. to get. It's called integrity. And that's a tough one. John McCain, if you're out there, I'm talking to you, you piece of dirt, and Lindsey Graham. So, integrity, okay? There is a point where you're representing the voters, not representing yourself. You're representing, you're put there in D.C. to represent what the voters intended you to do, not what your special interests, your big corporate lobbies, your global interests, your Saudi money. If you're McCain, your Chinese and Russian programmers that did you in Vietnam as a Manchurian candidate. That's just kind of my outside talking there.
No, and I think you're probably spot on with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole show we'll have to do on that one. But, I mean, seriously, I mean, this is accountability. And this is where I say, like, when people start screaming, like, oh, man, we need to do term limits. No, you don't. No, you don't. Why don't we start with some really it's amazing concept. Hang on to your seat. Buckle up, because here it comes. Why don't we just vote?
Yeah.
Holy cow. Vote. And like not 33% turnout, like 99% turnout. And why don't we vote? and get out there and say, you know what, you're a dirtbag. I don't need to have term limits on you. I'm just going to remove you. But this thing, what happens is we get down these spiral rabbit holes where it's like you start to listen to the wrong thing. Oh, these guys are in there. Yeah. Well, we need to get rid of them. But we can't get rid of them. So we need to put term limits on them. It's like stop. Roll back. Why can't you get rid of them? Why? And it's like this part of the equation. Just, well, I don't know. My vote doesn't count. Why doesn't your vote count? Well, every time I vote, I get outvoted. Have you done things like canvassing, organizing, get people out to vote? Has everybody taken on the same responsibility that loves this country? Usually the answer is a big,
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's in the damn Constitution. It says, and we talk about how the system of government is supposed to work. It's not complicated. That's the beauty of a non-complicated system is it actually works efficiently when everybody plays along. Now, when we start talking about corruption and we start talking about big buyouts and we start talking about rigging machines like the unions do in Philadelphia and other places around the country and the Clintons buying off votes and setting up all these, you know, the Democrats trying to get all these illegals to vote. Those are big structural problems. But the question you have to ask is, how did we get there? We got there because we didn't force Congress to be accountable. We allowed a president to run amok and didn't force Congress to be accountable. Right?
And that's exactly. And
go ahead.
Well, it's just like, and we've touched on this, and there are going to be a lot of these chords that we strike again and again and again. It's just like we talked last Thursday. You voted them in, vote them out. You don't need a countermand amendment. You don't need a convention of the states. You don't need any of this crap. You voted them in, vote them out. It's pretty clear. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty cut and dry.
I think so. I don't think it's difficult. I hate when simple systems work brilliantly. People always seem to want to make them more complicated than they are. You know, I mean, it's like take the Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. I love this book. Okay, it's all about the guys traveling across the country, riding an old Harley, and doing all the work on this thing himself. And I want somebody to tell me today, with all the requirements for smog and digital controllers and all this other garbage, that if you get on one of your big hogs today, a brand new one off the showroom, that when you drive across the country, you're going to be able to have a tool bag underneath your seat to do all the work on your Harley. I guarantee you the answer is going to be no. And I'm not saying that there hasn't been improvements, but the thing is the system's increasingly, it's like our trend to try to improve things to the point of complication. Look at the old tractors. I mean, they're marvels in amazing engineering on engines that run beautifully and run for a lifetime. I can't say that you find these tractors that are still around that were back in, you know, 1920s. And they're workable. Ford 9N, there's one for you. I had a Ford 9N, but my dad did. And that was old when I was on it. The things ran great. The only challenge was just getting parts once in a while, but it wasn't like the engineering was complicated. Good engineering, but not like digital programmers, all this other stuff, right? And my point is we have a tendency of always wanting to make things more complicated. The brilliance of the true sign of genius is the mastery of simplicity. The true sign of genius is the mastery of simplicity, of non-complicated systems. And what you see in our Constitution, what you see in the Declaration of Independence, is true mastery of genius. That's what I think.
And just like the 1911 government model.
Oh, nice. Yeah, now there's been some good improvements on that, though, that have still kept that system very clean. Right?
Yeah.
It's just more
totally.
About machining or things like that. But you're good. Well, point, because there's a great example of a platform that effectively has not changed since its design. The improvements have been refinement in the precision of engineering, improvements in metals, little things like that.
Yeah, in manufacture. Yeah.
Everything. Right?
Absolutely.
I think it's Fantastic. Yes. There. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Scott Kesterson on the American Brand Radio Initiative, and my name is Bostic, James Bostic. We're down at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a brief musical interlude. We have a friend of mine that's on the line. Keep, as soon as we get done with this, Robert Kilpatrick, fellow radio host of Keeper's Mind Pool. I think that's the still the latest incarnation of what he's doing with his talents. And we're going to bring him up, and we're going to beat a little breeze about the NFL and a few other things. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot stress enough the importance, and it's something that I've always recognized, but it's kind of like been this sleeper agent within me that's finally now awoken. And again, this is part of their first principle series. You can get this from the Heritage Foundation. I sent them $5. They sent me this, my own pocket copy of the Constitution and Declaration, but it's called A Citizen's Introduction to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. It's not that weedy. It's just a little over 100 pages. It gives you a good readable copy of the Declaration. It gives you a readable copy of the Constitution, and it explains a number of things. I can't encourage you enough to contact the Heritage Foundation and get your own copy of this terrific book. And now, in our continuing journey into yesteryear, we're going to have a brief musical break. We will be back at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to change gears and talk about something else. This is the American Brand Radio Initiative. Scott Kesterson, James Bostic, right here with you on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We will be back right after this. I have a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind.
And we're back. Welcome to the American Brand Radio Initiative right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network live through the studios at Blog Talk Radio. We are in the middle of the construction of the American Brand Radio Initiative archive page here on Blog Talk. We have some outstanding programming. We're going to be moving that stuff in. I've been working on it bits and pieces, and I apologize. I haven't put the effort into it that I should have, but we're going to get that reconfigured, and this week we're going to be up and running in a great big way. Scott Kesterson, how was that? A little bit better?
I'm a little bit in shock. I almost felt like it was part of my lifetime. It was great, James. My goodness. What happened
I have a remarkably eclectic taste in music. That's all this is.
Oh, well, okay. I'll take that. You know, you're kind of like those eternal living people. So since you were in the Civil War and you actually know what it means when I say 78 records and gramophone, it's good to hear you know that also that there's other types of music in this modern age. I'm impressed. Thank you.
I know. That's not – and that one's what, only 50 years, 40 years old?
Oh, yeah. There, I'm – like modern age, and there we are. I'm already dating myself.
1976. We're cutting edge, dude.
We are. We're right on the cusp here, folks. Stay with us here. You stay with us another 10 years, and we might just get to 20 years old music if you're good with us. I'll tell you right now.
Okay, listen, here's what we've got going on. You know, we've covered the separation of the powers, and we've got our friend. Like I said, I promised I'd bring him up. He called in. We are not necessarily, and we haven't been, although, you know, when we bring on a guest, it's usually going to be somebody that's pretty solid and not some kind of quack. So what I would like to do now is I'd like to bring up my friend, Mr. Robert Kilpatrick, the keeper himself. Keep, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you for bringing me on. I appreciate it, James.
It's good to hear from you, buddy. How's everything been? Do you know Scott Kesterson?
I do.
Oh, we know each other.
I have reached out to you many, many times, Mr. Kesterson, trying to get you on my radio program and have you talk about the things that you talk about. You're busy, man. You're busy. Busy, busy, busy. I get it. You're a
superstar.
We're
going to
get it happening. So let's make it happen. I do a Thursday night show. It runs from 7 till 9 p.m. Eastern time. Everybody that you talk to behind the scenes, okay, they all know me. And if I was a fake douchebag, James, I know that you run a G-rated program. I run a PG-13 program. And
used to be the case, and then I started hanging out with Kesterson, and I'm cussing worse than anybody now.
I've begun clean, James. You're now you need to go in and have a Sunday meeting with your pastor and get this thing rectified. That's all I can.
Well, I think I'm going to need prayer, y'all.
Please let's not talk about religion. There's something that is individually based about that I will not go into, and it is you and whoever it is that you feel that you need to associate with. So we'll just leave it at that. You guys were talking earlier about, you know, why can't we vote them out? We voted them in. Why can't we vote them out? And I want to address that really quick before I get into some other things. We can't vote them out because we are so familiar with their name being on top of that list when we go to the poll. And we don't have a clue about who it is that we're voting about. Oh, yeah, that name sounds familiar. I'll just go ahead and check mark that off for them. And I could be completely vulgar, and I'm trying not to be. That's the problem. People don't get it. They see the name, and they're up for re-election. Oh, I'm familiar with that name. This is the first time I've ever voted for, you know, a midterm election. People don't even get that definition. So when we talk about this stuff, this whole political thing, we got to be able to address and identify where we're coming from when we talk about, you know, well, we voted them in. Why can't we vote them out? We can't absolutely vote them out. We don't necessarily need term limits, but we do at the same time because there's no term limits on anybody that's a senator or a congressperson, anything like that. There is not.
Well, and to a certain extent, Keep, I agree with that. Incumbency is a curse. Because mm-hmm. and we've talked, you and I have talked about this. All you got to do is get in there one time. Look, and in West Virginia, is a case in point. Robert C. Byrd. Robert C. Byrd went in, you know, 150 right after the Civil War. I remember talking to Bob as he was, you know, wanting to get into politics. And I said, well, it might be okay, but that Klan thing is probably going to hurt you further on down the line.
It might.
but you see my point. And look how long he died in office, for crying out loud.
Right.
Pretty much. See, I mean, for all intents and purposes.
People are not paying attention because the maybe the glamour of politics is not there. People don't really get it. We only pay attention to who's going to be our president, and people.
Think, oh, I'm gonna enjoy this speaker. You keep going. I'm gonna have some words on this one. You just keep going. Yeah.
People fail to understand. Thank you. People fail to understand that when it comes to what we need to be paying attention to, it's not just the who's going to vote for your president. That's been glamorized. It's been pushed out there and on. Sensationalized to the utmost. It's an entertainment factor because people are not actually paying attention to what they need to, which is down to your literally your social level, your board of supervisors, your board of whoever's running for a school board, whoever is going for supervisor at large or whatever it happens to be in your local community. But that's I'm trying not to cuss. I'm really
– let your hair down, dude. You're among friends. I can take the heat. Do it.
That shit is sexy. It really is sexy. When you're paying attention to that stuff, it is sexy because when you go out there and you look at – right now I've got a midterm election coming up here in my local state. I live in Virginia, and I'm looking at a delegate, Sheila Crowley. She's a Democrat. Been. Personally, I am a constitutional conservative, and if this is a new party, rock on. Let me just, toot my own horn. I believe in the Constitution the way it was written, not the way it is interpreted. Period, across the board. End of story. When I look at the candidates that are running for office right now, okay, where do you come from? What is it that you are telling me because of all the social media, all of the paid for advertisements, all of those things? And I'm gonna dig. I will go to your rally, I'll pay the $20, $30, $40, $50 to find out what it is that you think that I want to hear, because you have no clue where I'm coming from, because you've never actually had a conversation with me. This stuff is actually, it is sexy. It is oh, my God. People need to understand that when we're looking at this stuff, even the Supreme Court judges every law versus the Constitution, because that is what they were designed to do. And when we look at what their ruling is, and how long ago did they rule about the Second Amendment? How long ago did they rule about the First Amendment? The Third, the Fourth, the Seventh, the Sixth, the Eighth? Pick one. People don't follow this stuff because it's not entertaining to them. They want to follow football. They want to follow the NBA. They want to follow who is the next Kardashian. And I don't care. I really don't care because the things that we're talking about, the things that you guys have talked about, have to do with my life right now, my children's life 5 years, 10 years from now. Because if we don't actually take hold of what's going on, there's not going to be anything left. We're going to be looking at what Iran is looking at right now, where on the 15th, 2 days ago, they just have counter-protest against the new regime instituting the things that they're instituting just like we are now. Because of Las Vegas, we're looking at more gun control, more gun limitations, and I am a proponent of the Second Amendment. I really am. I want to tell you guys that right out front. I do not normally carry a weapon. I do not own a weapon. Okay, so let that sink in really quick. I do not own a weapon. I do not carry a weapon. I have carried a weapon, and you can go check out my Facebook and, you know, check out Keeper's Mindful. You can go check out my personal Facebook page, Keeper's Mindful or Robert Kilpatrick. Go look at it. I've been in the newspaper as carrying a weapon. And when it comes to the racial division that's going on, it's not going to be people yelling and screaming, you know, behind police. It's going to be the conversations that we have as individuals trying to get to a place where everybody understands the other point of view, and then we can work from that. But this is like a sidetrack. And, James, I know you want to talk about football, and that whole thing is like, oh, my God, really? I don't even watch football. It's ridiculous, man.
Well, not so much football as what I was going to go and what you're talking about here. And we'll get to that in a minute. What you're talking about here is the doctrine of the tactical mindset, which is what Scott introduced me to, and that is what that is effecting change in that sphere of influence where you can. And what you're talking about with your board of supervisors or checking out the people that are on your boards of education or who are running your county commissions or your city councils, that is the tactical mindset employed on an individual basis. Scott, you got some thoughts on this. Fire them out.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, I don't buy this garbage that people are committed to, that we somehow need term limits because people can't make a damn decision. And I don't buy it at all. And I'm never going to buy it because part of the responsibility, especially people that are out here talking to the folks, whether it's your program or our program, is to awaken them and keep them aware of the pitfalls that they fall into. One of the interesting things is what you described, the way you described it, is really a psychological disorder called dependency personality disorder, where people can't make decisions and rely on their well-being through somebody else. I'm not a believer that people can't overcome that. I do believe that they're influenced through the impact of brand marketing and name identification. But I absolutely don't buy the fact that people don't have the ability to make a decision. I think that's pure lame. And on top of it, I think that it gives people an excuse. It's
so
their responsibility to become informed. And it's absolutely their responsibility. Keeper, what's that? I've got the floor here a second. We just gave you about 10 minutes on the show, so I'm going to respond here.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Sorry. My apologies.
The deal here is simple. Any time that we sit here and start giving people a reason to justify action, they will continue to do the same action. The challenge is to push people to become aware of what they're doing so that they become informed. As part of a person in a constitutional republic, it is their responsibility, their obligation, their requirement as an American to become informed and not fall into those traps. And it is also those that are out there on the front edge who are carrying that banner, that vanguard, to promote the Constitution, to make sure that we continue to push that out there. This is a damn war. And the war is the other side wants that complacency. The other side wants the people to fall into the trap of not being able to make a decision. That other side wants them to think that there's no decision but the incumbent that's available to you. That's exactly the trap they want. And it's up to us. It's up to us who are out here now on the vanguard, out here on the very front, to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Well, let me thank you for the time. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. You both of you gave me some momentum to say what I had to say. So I appreciate that. Thank you very, very, very much.
Welcome, Keith.
People are beginning to understand what cognitive dissonance is, and people are beginning to understand what emotion-based reaction is because of shows like yours, James, because of you, both of you, talking about what you're talking about. And it has reached a certain, I don't want to say tempo, but it has reached a certain level where people can begin to understand if they followed anything across the American brand, and my girl, Lisa, love her to death. I wouldn't have been able to do half of what I've been able to do without her. And know you guys
none
love
of us
her
could.
To death just like I do. Okay.
None of us could.
And the thing is that people don't do their own due diligence. And if you if anybody has followed any one of the videos from Scott Kesterson or has listened to anything off of Patriot Nation, Keepers Mindful, Dashboard Outlaw, Truth Emerges Network, Gateway Radio Network, anything like that, the people that are trying to get you the information that you need to pay attention to, this is actual logic and thinking. When Scott was talking about how simple, maybe it was you, James, how simple our actual, you know, election process is, it really is. And the thing is that the people from the left want to complicate it and make it so difficult that you can't understand it and confound you so that you can't make heads or tails of it. It's actually pretty simple once you start paying attention to this. So how do we make it sexy? How do we make it awesome for people to understand? I get it. I mean, I'm just one of those dudes. I find politics sexy as hell. And again, I would have used the F word right then, but I mean, this is your
thank
show,
you.
James, but
thank you.
I mean, it really is. I mean, when you look at this stuff, I mean, when you're who is doing what to who? I mean, this is like the next level from, you know, what's the song? Who's cheating who? Who's being true? I mean, come on, people.
Just as it is with you, Keep, our goal is to awaken this narcoleptic electorate, this complacence in the electorate. And that's what this is about. And we have to shake them up. And it is just as simple as that. It's like I keep going back because I made this correlation, like, you know, like what you were talking about with the tactical mind, or, you know, the tactical mindset. That's what you're talking about. And another way to put it for people to understand, it's the political concept. It's taking the Serenity Prayer and applying it to politics, to world affairs.
Oh my God!
And what is Siri? Just think about it. Grant me the wisdom. Grant me the serenity. Okay, to accept those things that I cannot change. For example, Kim Jong Cartman, he's going to lob a spread of nukes at Guam or at Hawaii. Can you stop that, Keeper? No, I can't either. Neither can Scott. As awesome as he is, he can't stop it. All right, we can't stop that. The courage to change those things that I can't. Finding out about your board of supervisors, finding out about your county commission, finding out about your city council. Finding out about your mayor, your board of education, because you can change those things. And then the wisdom of discernment to tell between the two.
Right. Well,
the most powerful part of an insurgency is getting people to have to disrupt people's belief in the system. The most powerful part of a counterinsurgency is to start at the grassroots and to have them re-anchor in their communities to build strength, to build it up from bottom up. The entire focus, Keeper, you should, I think you know, the American brand, everything we're doing is based on local community, local action, and getting to know your communities. Right now, our big initiative right now, we've got a number of people out here doing it that are going into the school boards, going into the city council meetings, going into the county commissioner meetings. I have a group going into a big meeting in Oregon right now, filming tonight, on this whole initiative that they're trying to get to take away the sheriff's power. These are products then that we have to put out and we will be putting out, that people need to become informed of the type of things that are happening, and then we need to build these deep cultural maps that are within these local areas so that when we say this small town here in America and this small town here in America, we know who the players are on the school board, who the teachers are, who the players are on the city council and the mayor, what their beliefs are, who's backing them. Every detail we can about them, because that's how we create awareness, that's how you make it sexy, and that's how we create counteroffensives right there. And the counteroffensives ultimately are local.
Well, you just gave me a chub, both of y'all. Just chub me up.
I don't know. After all this,
you've been branded, dude.
I've never, I, I'm a little uneasy with that comment right there. We got a lot of.
Well, we never met in person, so I think you're okay. I mean, you've been traveling across America. You haven't been to my state yet, as far as I know. But James, Mr. Bostic, I appreciate your time. Can I give a selfish plug before you like change gears?
By all means, Keith, please do.
My name is Keeper. I use that as a moniker. My real name is Robert Kilpatrick. I'm not ashamed to stand for the Constitution. I am a constitutional conservative. If you care to listen to my podcast, please do so at blogtalkradio.com, the Gateway Radio Network. If you can't find it that way, if you are on blogtalkradio.com, search Liberty 4. No cases, no spaces, the number 4, every Thursday night from 7 till 9 p.m. It's a different way of thinking, and this Thursday I'll be talking a little bit more about what's going on in Las Vegas, investigation, change of story, timeline, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to get deep, and I welcome anybody that would like to be a part of that. James, I know that you guys run a Thursday night program here on Patriot Radio Network. And I don't want to infringe on that. You can listen to an archive in any way, shape, or form, and I appreciate that anybody does. The phone number, if you want to call in, 323-927-2944. And I'm just going to drop that once. But I appreciate your time, Dave. I appreciate you. You got to keep doing what you're doing. Scott, please reach out to me. I've reached out to you, trying to get you on the program and talk about this stuff. Because what it is actually real. It does affect, you know, the people here on the ground. We got to live this stuff. So, again, gentlemen, thank you. James, awesome. Love you, brother. Big hat tip. Appreciate it.
Robert Kilpatrick, thanks for being here with us, Robert. Enjoy talking with you. It's been way too long, and I will be catching up with you soon, I promise. Okay, listen, we're about out of it. That was Robert Kilpatrick, and guess what? The boy just got branded, and that's what we're going to call it when we can. That's what we're going to call it when we convert him, man. We branded our boy. That's it, right there.
I love it, James. I love it. Okay, so that's it. When you come on our show, if we end up with a comment like that, I'm not repeating that comment because I feel like Weinstein, but I'll take it. And Keeper, if you're listening out there, love you for it. Don't think I don't. But you've been branded. That's it. You've been branded. You got the American brand now in your soul, and that is going to change this country. So, folks, keep it passing around. Let everybody know you want to rip open your mind. Come here. We'll help you do it. It's part of our job.
And
raise
we're going to do it.
Flag. Take no quarter.
Tuesdays and Thursdays live right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. The archive show can be found with other outstanding archive programs like Cowboy Logic. Radio like Denise Simon Experience, like the Sit Rep, and of course ACP, and not to mention the American Brand Radio Initiative, all at the American Brand Radio Initiative channel on Blog Talk. Well, we're about out of time. Scott, thanks again. Be looking forward to talking to you on Thursday. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of crap blow up between now and then that we'll be able to expound upon at some point.
Oh, absolutely. So thank you, James, as always. Great evening. And I'll let you do the sign-off.
All right, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our friend Scott Kesterson of the American Brand, chief principal man behind all that, and the dude that has been so awesomely cool in letting me be a part of this and handling some of the broadcast responsibilities for the American Brand Radio Initiative. Immensely proud and eternally grateful is what I am. That's all the time we have, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network with more of the American Brand Radio Initiative. Till then, take good care of yourselves. God bless each and every one of you. And God bless the United States of America, the last best hope of freedom here on Earth. We'll see you on Thursday. You guys take care.